Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Once, when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do crowds say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and then the third day be raised." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the two-year liturgical cycle of the Church, we get 3 days from the book of Ecclesiastes. But when feasts happen, like the Feast of St. Michael tomorrow, we get 2 days in 2 years in the book of Ecclesiastes. So it's important for us to focus a little bit, because there is a time for the book of Ecclesiastes and a time for other feasts. Many throughout history have wondered why the book of Ecclesiastes is in sacred scripture. When we heard yesterday the passage about vanity of vanities, everything is vanity, there's nothing of meaning under the sun, etc. Yesterday I teased one of the sisters over at visitation for finishing that pessimistic diatribe with the words, "The word of the Lord." It's not really consistent with a heck of a lot else, but the reason why the book of Ecclesiastes is in sacred scripture, it's because it shows very clearly a soul in the absence of God. A soul that's struggling to try to find God again. And eventually here we find where that soul discovers. At first it just starts. There's no purpose to it all. There's incoming tide and there's outgoing tide. There's night and there's day. We're just in this perpetual cycle going nowhere. And eventually, after he asks the question again, what advantage has the worker from his toil if there's just this constant going back and forth with no direction? He then, with a burst of grace, says, "I've considered the task that God has appointed for the sons of man to be busy about. He has made everything first appropriate to its time. There is a purpose even behind what seems to be a cycle." But then he goes further. "He has put the timeless into their hearts, that there is something eternal in the midst of all the kairotic moments. That there's eternal. He's placed it within us. Without man's ever really discovering the mystery, being able to unveil it from beginning to end, puts the linear in the middle of the cycle, the work which God has done." We find in the Gospel the beginning of that beginning and end. Jesus came and he didn't say, "I am a cyclical pattern of time and behavior." He said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." St. Paul writes in his letter to Galatians that in the fullness of time, Christ himself came to unite all things in himself. To unite the time to be born and a time to die, the time to plant and uproot, the time to tear down and to build, to weep and to laugh, as we'll hear in the Beatitudes, to mourn and to dance, to scatter and to gather, to embrace and be far, to seek and to lose one's life, etc. Jesus is going to unite all of that in himself. But knowing that experience of a life without real meaning, in which everything just seems to be history repeating itself over and over again with no direction, Jesus asks us, "Who do you say that I am?" from today's gospel. He who comes in the fullness of time wants gradually to unveil that eternal that he has placed into our hearts. He wants us to enter with him into the eternal present, in which time, in a sense, stops. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Who do you say that I am? And then he describes what he does once and for all, not to be repeated at the summit of time. The Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and then the third day be raised. He brings all time to its ultimate purpose, so that we might enter with him into that eternal Passover and go to that place where God dwells outside of time, to bring us in to the eternal totum simul, the present. For this, we need to have a conversion from worldly ways of looking to divine. We need to confess Jesus in the present as the beginning and the end, as our Savior. We need to enter into that once and for all, never to be repeated. San Lorenzo Ruiz had this type of conversion. Devotion to San Lorenzo Ruiz has been growing astronomically as the Filipinos have spread throughout the world. Because my boss, Archbishop Aus, is the most famous Filipino Catholic in the country, he's constantly traveling everywhere to celebrate San Lorenzo Masses. And because I'm his right hand, I'm constantly into the story of San Lorenzo Ruiz. And at first it was kind of a head-scratcher. But then when you get to know him much better, you see in a sense an extraordinary person of hope. San Lorenzo Ruiz grew up basically as a sacristan. His parents were faithful. He was good. He's called Escribano because he had, unlike most of us, good penmanship. He was a calligrapher. But eventually he's accused of murder. The church has never determined whether he was guilty or innocent of murder. We just don't have all the facts. When you read a lot of the hagiographical accounts, they'll all of a sudden automatically say, well, because he's a saint, he must have been falsely accused. We actually don't know if he was falsely accused. But when he was accused, he responded with cowardice. And he just said, I have to get out of here. Rather than use that as a time for witness, yesterday we celebrated St. Vincent de Paul, after his conversion from incredible vanity, when his roommate accused him of ripping off 400 crowns, which was an enormous sum of money at that time. He just said, God knows the truth. And it took about 9 months for him to be freed of that suspicion when the real thief was caught. But he said, God knows the truth. And he faced it straight head on. San Lorenzo Ruiz didn't. I've been accused. They're coming after me. See ya. He promised his wife he'd send money to care for her and the kids. Where's he going to run to? He eventually finds some Dominicans, and they're going to be hopping on a ship to Japan. And so he went on that ship. It was a ship that didn't have many passengers, because there was a leper on board. and nobody wanted to be with the leper. But because there was a leper on board, San Lorenzo thought that the odds that there'd be cops on board were slim. When he arrived in Japan in 1636, he didn't realize that the shogunate had already started an incredible persecution of Christians. Didn't take long for him and the Dominicans and the leper all to be arrested. They were in prison for a couple of years. And at the end of the couple of years, they wanted them to deny the faith. They had been starved in the prison. They had received lots of other real hardships there. But at the very end, the Japanese, who were probably the greatest sadists in history, were going to torture them until they renounced the Lord. We saw some of this, if you've seen the movie Silence. It showed what happened to San Lorenzo Ruiz. It's based really on his case and the case of many others. They hung him over a deep, dark pit by his Achilles, and they'd slice the back of his ear so that it dripped bead of blood by bead of blood until everything would be out. The whole blood in your body would rush to your head. It would be incredibly throbbing. And they'd bind the whole body together with the exception of one arm so that you could wave when you were ready to renounce the faith. He and the Dominicans and the leper were hung upside down. And it took a few days for them to bleed out. Eventually, it'd start to form the coagulates, and so they'd constantly come with another razor blade to just continue to let him drop out blood by blood, till he bled to death. And San Lorenzo Ruiz, to the very end, in this once and for all time, was confessing that Christ is the Son of God, that Christ is present, and that just as Christ was rejected by the elders and killed, and on the third day raised from the dead, so San Lorenzo, in his mercy, would be rejected, tortured, killed, and forever raised with Christ. In our life, many of us have run away from things. There's a chronic problem in the church, especially among the clergy, of being conflict averse, but it's a cancer that doesn't just affect clerics. A lot of the times we do run away. What the Lord did with San Lorenzo is, as he was running, he changed so that he was running toward the Lord and finishing the race and keeping the faith, and a crown of righteousness was awaiting him. In response to Ecclesiastes, St. Paul tells each of us, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. As we enter into communion with the eternal presence.